The world can take all the things that I've worked for through the years. They can take this old house I'm living in. But oh, but there's one thing I know they'll never take away from me, and that's Jesus who's living within. I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps ringing, and it was Jesus who made me this way. Hey. Amen tonight, church. Hey. I'm gonna be honest with you. I've been as nervous as I'll get out just about since Brother Kevin asked me to come. I don't really know what I'm doing. No one gave me a handbook on how to preach, and all the people that gave me a handbook on how to preach, I threw it away. And I thought I'd just go with what the Lord had me to do, Dad. And I figured I'm just going to do what He wants me to do here tonight. I would much rather be in His will than in Colby Waters' will or Kevin Sexton's will or Craig Waters' will. I'd much rather be in God's will. I want to tell you something tonight, church. I have an excitement in my heart that I know that I know that I know that I am not going to hell, but I have found that a Savior, I have found a friend and a man named Jesus. I've been told about a sacrifice, Brother Kevin, that was made on a hill called Golgotha 2,000 years ago, where the blood of the precious Lamb of God was shed, that for you and me, I've got a promise that He told me He would never leave me either, and He said He would never forsake me. But He told me, you know what He told me? He said, I'll go with you even unto the ends of the earth. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing to know that I am highly favored in the eyes of God, and I am glad to know that it is not by my deeds. If it was by my deeds, I'll tell you what, I should deserve hell, but God has made me a place in heaven, so I'll just take that one. I'm going to tell you something. The book of Romans, chapter number 5, I believe it's verse number 19, it said, for by one man's disobedience sin entered into the world, but by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. For where sin abounded, amen, grace did much more abound. Woo! Amen. Amen. I've found a lot of things in this world. You can ask a lot of people in this room. I've known a lot of you since I was this high. And I've known some of you through my worst times. And some of you have known me through my best times. I have failed and I have fallen short of the glory of God. My righteousness is as filthy rags, the filthiest you've ever seen. I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. I am not worthy to stand behind this pulpit. I am not worthy to be called a son of God. I am not worthy for the blessings that I have. I'm not worthy that my parents would be able to come with me tonight. I'm not worthy that I grew up in a household where three of us would end up preaching. I've not been worthy to go to church, been drugged, have my family talk to me about God. But praise God, Brother Kevin. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. He has made me what He wants me to be. And you know what happens? I'll try to go and I'll try to put my own things into it. Say, no, God, I don't think this should happen. You know what He does? He says, go sit off right there and let me work. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Every time I try to put my hands in what's supposed to happen with me, it all just falls apart. I've learned that if I don't try, I do a lot better with God doing everything. Amen. Amen, church. Amen.
hey, if you'll follow me right here, I'm not going to keep you very long, but I feel pretty good tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. Hey, man, that's just about the worst thing you can hear a Baptist preacher say is he's feeling good. Hey, man, but bear with me just for a little while, and I'll give you exactly what the Lord's given me, and I'll get down and get out of the way. I don't want to tarry your hand into the service by no means, but if you would follow with me here. to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. I was sitting there studying. I'll be honest with you, church, I had studied and studied ever since Brother Kevin had texted me, and I could not find the one spot. And while I was sitting there, the Lord had just shown this to me, so I'm just going to follow by Him, and I promise you I'm going to do exactly what He has me to do, and I won't say another word. But I want you to read right here with me in verse number, chapter number 3 of Daniel, starting in verse number 12. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 12. I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. I'm going to stutter and I'm going to stammer over my words, but I promise with you, if you bear with me, I'll get it out at some point. How about the book of Daniel chapter 3, verse number 12? If you found your place, say amen. Amen. And the word of God said, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor the gold, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, I want you to read right there, which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye should be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But right here in verse number 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I'm thankful, dear Lord, for one more time to come into your house. Dear Lord, one more time to worship and serve with your people. Dear Lord, we are so undeserving. Dear Lord, have favor among you. But dear Lord, I'm thankful. So much, dear Lord, that you are with us. Dear Lord, I'm thankful you've never left us. Dear Lord, I'm thankful so much that you are God. Dear Lord, I pray tonight you'd make preaching easy. Dear Lord, have me behind the cross. Dear Lord, I am nothing. Dear Lord, I am just a mouthpiece. I do not want to hinder the service in any way. Dear Lord, have me behind the cross. Make me real small so you can be real big tonight, dear Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to think right here. I want you to read and think in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, how we find how the king Nebuchadnezzar had made a golden image set up, how that all these nations and people were to go and fall down before. We all know this story. But I want you to, if I had a thought here, is how much do we owe to God? How much do we owe to God? I thought about it as well, there was the Prime Minister Winston Churchill during World War II, he was talking about the Royal Air Force, and he said, never has so much been owed by so many to so few. I want to tell you something tonight, church. Yeah. There has never been what in the course of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to just one. I just want to correct what Winston Churchill said. We owe everything to one person. Yeah. Amen. I want you to think right here, church. I want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, these little Hebrew boys, these Jewish boys off in the foreign country of Babylon, taken into captivity, but they were given, laid over some affairs of Babylon. I want you to think about the boldness they had after being given such a cushy position, after being taken out. Hey, that they would not bow down to what the king that gave them that cushy position would have them do. But they stood firm in God, knowing that if they trusted by him, that everything would be okay. I like to think back over there to 1 Kings. I believe it's chapter number 17. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But there was a widow woman out there. Hey, and God told Elijah that to go down. And that there was going to be a widow woman there to sustain him through the rest of the famine. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, that widow woman was gathering up some sticks, and I thought about Dad preach one time. She wasn't going out picking up logs, but she was carrying up some sticks because she was not intending to make a very big fire. I'm going to tell you something. I believe after what Elijah had shown her, that she went out and started cutting down some trees. That's what I would have done. After I seen that nothing was going to be thrown away, that God was going to bring me through this. Amen, church. She had found it good that God, if God is on our side, church, can I ask you a question? How bad can it truly end for us? Amen. Well, on every single front, we are persecuted and hated. But church, can I tell you something? We ought not to get down like a bunch of dogs who've been beat and start cowering our heads, but just like lions, bring our heads up, Brother Kevin, and say, I am not going to be disturbed by what you're doing. I'm going to stand for God. Amen. You read right here in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, you'll read that the king was told about what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you'll read he was not very happy about what happened. So he went and he told them. He said, you know what you're going to do? He said, I'm going to do this again for you. And if you don't do it, you're going to be cast in that burning fiery furnace. And he said, who's the God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? Amen. You want to know what most of us would have done if a king of somewhere told us he was going to kill us? And who's the God? We'd cower down. But I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They said, oh king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what that means? Oh king, I know exactly what I'm talking about right here. I know the God I serve. You want to know what our God did for us, oh king? Brought us out of captivity of Egypt. Brought us through to the people. There was a king down there called David, and he went out to fight a giant called Goliath. And with a sling, he had killed old Goliath. Can I tell you something? I believe that they believed exactly what God could do. Amen. I want you to read with what they said, though. They said, but if not, O king. But if not. That did not mean that they doubted God in the slightest. But if not, O king, let it be known. Let it be known everywhere, O king. I want you to plaster it up on the walls of every place you can that you killed 3 Hebrew boys, and they said their God was still for them even when they were killed. O king, let it be known that our God is still great. Amen. Because they owed it to him. Amen. You mind if I sit for just 1 second? Amen. I'd like to think this. You're reading the book of Jude, I believe. It's verse number 1. And he said, "Dear, earnestly, beloved, that you might earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered unto you by the saints." I'm going to tell you something. It is time that we earnestly contend for the faith. I'm going to tell you something. What does that mean? If you call yourself a Christian here tonight, and I'm not being mean by any means, Brother Kevin, I did not come to beat up on anybody. And I'm not preaching on anybody specific. This is just as much to me. God wore me out about this just about ever since Brother Kevin texted me. So I'm going to tell you something he's beat me up to. And I pray it don't step on your feet, but it'll step on your heart. I'm going to tell you something. If you call yourself a Christian, you have a huge name over your head. If you call yourself a Christian, that means to be called Christ-like. That means to try to be the best image you can of our Lord Jesus Christ. To go out into the highways and the hedges and to compel them that they might come in. It means to go out to the sick and the needy and the poor and the lost and let them know the love of God and that how much the mercy and how much grace is still abounding and the sacrifice made on Calvary's tree. That's what it means to be a Christian, not just coming in here and sitting down and getting your Bible and sitting there thinking, well, Brother Kevin's going to preach for about 30, 45 minutes, then we're going to get out of here. I'm going to tell you something. There's been a lot of people that thought they were saved just because of how much they come. Can I tell you something? If you've never got down, and you don't got to just come to an altar, but if you've never got before God and repented of your sins, you are lost. I don't mean to beat up on anybody. And God did certainly not make me the one who's the determining factor on who's saved and lost. But I can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. And if you tell me that you have never repented for your sins, I know what kind of tree it is.
That's right.
And that's not to look down on. You know, when Jesus come, you know them ads they've been putting on TV about him washing feet? I believe that Jesus come to them. He came to them that needed him most. He was not found in the temple, but I believe just one time talking with the scribes and Pharisees, the rest of the time, They are trying to argue with him. But you will never find where he went to the temple first and said, I am the Messiah. And went to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priest and laid down. But whenever, as Dad taught this morning, whenever he had fulfilled the prophet Isaiah, he was in Nazareth. I believe, what is that, chapter Luke or John, when he goes and he says, fulfilled, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears today. He went to the ones who needed him. You're going to find him in the places where them Sadducees and Pharisees wouldn't step foot in because they were too good. They were the religious people. We've still got a lot of religious people today who think they're too good to go out and to go out and to show and show God, I need to get off that. But you find Jesus, and where is he at? He is with the people who needed him. He is with the people who were hurt. He was with the sinners. He was with the people who were sick. He was with the ones who were outcast and rejected. But he did not come to tell them that the state they were living in was okay.
That's right.
He did not come down that to the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. He did not come down to tell her that what she was doing was okay.
That's right.
But he showed her grace.
That's right.
He showed her grace.
Yes.
He said, daughter, where are thine accusers? She said, none, thy, oh Lord. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more.
Right. That's the truth.
I think about that woman at the well. Was it five husbands? Five husbands. And the one she was living with was not her husband, caught in the state of sin. A Samaritan One who the Jews did not care for at all because they were rejected and they were half-breeds of what the Jews were. And they thought you were to go up on the mountain and the Jews were supposed to go into the temple. And she was like, why is this Jewish man talking to me? And then Jesus started showing her where she was wrong. And you want to know what she did? She went up there to get water in the heat of the day. All the women would go in the cool of the day, and they would go all together. All together they would start walking down, and I believe they had them water buckets, and they would just be talking about anything. But she would go in the heat of the day, I believe because she was ashamed. There's many people just like them who I believe the Samaritans would go up to the mountain every day who was talking about her. Everyone that we would call religious was talking about her still, and she didn't want to be around nobody. But then Jesus came. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And it was for the reason that there was a woman there who was lost, rejected, scorned, mocked, and had no way out. And Jesus did not come and say what she was doing was okay. I don't know why I got off on this. Just bear with me.
You smile the Lord, brother.
Jesus did not come and say what you're doing is just fine. You just go on back right there and you go on and you're okay. He did not say that.
Nope.
But he told her exactly where she was wrong. And she dropped them buckets.
Hey!
And she started running back, saying, come and see a man who told me everything that I have done, every sin I've done, every time I've messed up. Come and see a man. Is this man not the Messiah that was promised to us? Can I tell you something? What she found? She found grace in God. She found favor in the eyes of God. You may say, now, brother, it doesn't say that. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus told her to go, I'm going to tell you what. She found favor that in the eyes of God. Amen. Unmerited favor. We sing a song in that group we sing with, and a part of it goes, unmerited favor by the Savior is the reason I'm here today. It says, God's grace is still amazing me. I don't know why I got off on all that. You owe it. You owe it. I owe it. I owe it not to anybody but Him. I take it back. I owe it to Him and I owe it to the ones who don't know. Paul said, I'm a debtor to the ones do not know. The Jews and the Greeks, the ones who were unsaved, the ones who did not know about the salvation of God yet, sure. He said, I'm a debtor to them. When I got saved, May 6, 2009, Midway Free Will Baptist Church, 6 or 7 year old boy, and I've had a lot of people, Brother Kevin, tell me that a boy that young can't get saved, but I feel pretty good right now, so I believe I did. I've had that confirmed for me quite a bit. But about 2019, the Lord started calling me to preach. I did not want to preach. And I ran from it. I moved off to McKenzie, Tennessee. Wasn't a Bible-believing church within 50-mile radius of that place. You'd go and they'd have some kind of alphabet Bible up there. I couldn't even tell you which one it was. They'd just go and pick one up, I guess whichever the newest one someone said was the right one. And they'd go pick it up and they'd start preaching out of it. And I'm gonna tell you this, and I'll stand on this the day I die, the King James Version is the holy, unadulterated Word of God. Amen. Anything other than it, is sin, and it is of Satan. It is trying to tempt you and bring you out to, of the will of God. Amen. But I got out there, and I'll tell you what, there was a time in my life, Brother Kevin, where I had known the grace of God. I had known it so well. And I'd got away. And I remember that eating at me so much. And I remember, I couldn't tell you exactly when, sometime in March, I believe it was. And I was up in Oscar, Kentucky, where Brother Ryan Baker was preaching. And I remember off to the side, there was a field, and there was just these families gathered up in circles just praying. And there I was, about 300 or 400 miles away, just standing there, just thinking, man, I wish this would be over with. Go ahead and get back down to Tennessee. And I remember Ryan Baker saying this. He said, why are you running? And Ryan Baker did not know that the Lord was calling me to preach, by no means. But God got real with me again. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to find somebody who's messed up, that's me. If you want to find somebody who is not worthy to be called a Christian, that's me. If you want to find somebody that God should have left by the wayside a long time ago, that's me. If you want to find somebody who is not worthy to stand behind this pulpit, I'm the least among any of these preachers in here, and I know that. But I owe it to God that I would follow Him. And I owe it to the ones who don't know. I owe it because whenever He was on the cross, I was on His mind. I owe it because whenever He said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Father, not my will. Thy will be done. And every sin that I felt, all that shame that I could not stand to live with, everything, Brother Kevin, that catches up with me in the middle of the night, that keeps me up for an extra 3 to 4 hours, He felt that on that cross. He still said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. For they know not what they do. I won't paraphrase that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. There's going to come a day whenever all I can remember, Brother Kevin, I can't wait for this. There's going to come a day when I won't have to preach no more. There's going to come a day when I won't have to pray no more. There's going to come a day when I won't have to fight no more. There's going to come a day whenever I get to finally rest. And there's going to come a day when my sins will no longer be brought to my memory by Satan ever again. But all I'll be able to remember is the cross. All I'll be able to remember, Brother Kevin, is how much He loves me. And I owe it to Him. I owe everything to Him. Amen. Amen, church. I'm done here. I'm going to turn to Brother Kevin. Thank you for your good attention.